At peace talks in Astana today, Russia will seek to consolidate its gains in Syria. And that's not the only place Moscow is pushing its advantage. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL. Joining me in the studio is RFERL's news editor, Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Brian.
So, Russia got its way in Syria. One thing that is clear, maybe the only thing that's clear, as peace talks co-sponsored by Russia, Iran, and Turkey get underway in the Kazakh capital, Astana, today, is that Bashar al-Assad isn't going anywhere. And Russia's also trying to get its way in Libya, backing the eastern-based strongman Khalifa Haftar against the UN-supported government in Tripoli. An increasingly confident Kremlin is also stirring up trouble in the Balkans, backing an attempted coup in Montenegro and separatism in Kosovo and Bosnia. Moreover, disinformation campaigns are being cranked up in Germany, France, and Italy. Steve, it seems a confident Vladimir Putin is pressing his advantage everywhere you look. How destabilizing is this going forward? Is there a risk of overreach here?
I mean, there's certainly a risk of overreach, I think. One thing is Libya. I just almost as an aside, I find it quite interesting. I mean, this is the place. This is, you know, what happened in Libya is presumably, or according to many accounts, what made Putin decide to come back to the presidency. Mm-hmm. So I think the idea that there could be sort of such a reversal there that Russia would have its way, you know, it does show that I think it shows that he is trying to press his advantage. To some degree, whether it's an overreach or not will depend on the actions of the U.S. and Europe. I think, you know, that Putin's been taking advantage of almost an interregnum in the U.S. I mean, yes. With certainly on Syria with, I think Russia kind of made sure that the U.S. backed ceasefire and peace initiatives, which the U.S. was pursuing with Russia on the surface, didn't go anywhere and were thwarted, and now it's pushing its own talks in Astana and partnering with Turkey to some degree, but you know that's an example of how they've sort of used this time period with at the end of Obama's administration and now the beginning of Trump's to move forward and get things done. Kind of to move that rock into the road for negotiations right. with the West in the future. So I think it's going to depend on how the U.S. and Europe react. I mean, with the Astana talks, you see that the U.S., despite, I think Lavrov said, you know, please send someone who's a Middle East expert. The U.S. has not done that.
It's the ambassador to Kazakhstan.
Yeah, so I think to some, part of that decision is probably, you know, actually, Trump's administration saying, "Well, we don't really want to signal we're totally behind these talks." You know, I think they want to sort of step back, see what's happening. And obviously, there's a lot of uncertainty over what the U.S. relationship with Russia really will be. I mean, you have the kind of, you know, significantly more hawkish or tough on Russia statements by some of Trump's nominees. So I think we may see Putin and Russia stepping back a bit as they try to adjust to, you know, and wait and see what the U.S. relationship is really going to be like. And then the other factor, I think Europe, the U.S. Intelligence community's findings about Russian interference or allegations about Russian interference has, you know, with these elections coming up, has increased awareness in Europe. As I think someone was saying on your podcast, yeah. about you know these efforts by Russia to interfere. So we may get pushback from Europe. We may get pushback against Russia from the U.S. to some degree. We don't really know.
Yeah, no, it's interesting you mentioned that Libya was the, and according to almost every account I've read, that was what convinced Putin that he had to come back. But it's funny, now they're trying to get a reversal in Libya. But then if you go back even further, I mean, the first real thorn in Russia's side from the West in the post-Soviet period was the Balkans. And now they seem to be trying to reverse everything that's happened there. They seem to have at least, if not a hand, at least a few fingers in the pot in stirring up trouble in Kosovo and Bosnia. And encouraging extremists in Serbia as well. There's this alleged coup attempt that they were reportedly behind in Montenegro. So you're seeing pushback here. Another thing we're also seeing, though, in addition to Russia's behavior abroad, is the effect that this perceived victory that in a lot of ways is symbolized by Donald Trump's presidency is changing domestic politics. Alexei Kudrin, it wasn't noticed last week, but Alexei Kudrin presented his economic plan, the economic plan that Vladimir Putin asked him to write back last year. And it called for deep structural reforms, deep political reforms to boost Russia's GDP. Without this, he said that Russia's GDP is going to be floating around about 2% growth a year. Kudrin says with these reforms, it can go up over 4%. But this was hardly covered. It was hardly covered by the Russian media. It was largely ignored. And The Economist had a good piece today saying basically Putin thinks he's winning. He doesn't think he has to reform the economy. And this could be where this could be what basically gets them in the end, because at the end of the day, if they don't reform this economy, they're in trouble. Right.
So, yeah, sort of overconfidence. And I think that goes back to, you know, is this was there a plan to reform the economy and maybe to hold presidential elections earlier, you know, had Clinton won the election? In that case, Russia would have been and Putin would have been less confident. And now the danger, as you say, may be overconfidence on his part.
Well, yeah, prior to the U.S. election, there were reports in the Russian media that a thaw is coming, basically. They were prepping for a Clinton presidency. A thaw is coming. And that potentially economic reforms were coming. Now the talk of all that is off the table. There's certainly no thaw. There doesn't look like there's going to be any economic reform, and that this overconfidence might be the Achilles heel, because if they don't reform that economy, they're in deep trouble.
And also that's true. And also, you could always say, well, you know, Putin can then come in any time, a year from now, 2 years, and say, okay, I am going to put this Kudrin plan in place. I'm going to, you know, take this or that, do this or that to reform. But this overconfidence that you're seeing now, I think, makes that harder to sell to Russian people, particularly, you know, the kind of ideologically oriented ones who are saying, you know, why, what are we all of a sudden have to...
We're winning. Why do we have to change anything?
Right. So I think that's, you know, I think that it does make it harder to kind of step down or step back in the future.
And we do see some echoes of the past here. I mean, part of this reminds me of the Soviet 70s, right? They felt they were winning. They put off reforms of the economy, and we know the result of that. Now, history is not going to repeat itself here. But this should be something to watch going forward with all talk of reforms, because at the end of the day, this military adventurism has to be paid for by something. And they got this production cutting deal with OPEC, which seems to be keeping oil prices from falling. We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah.
But this isn't just about oil prices. This isn't just about sanctions. There's deep structural problems in that economy, and if they don't do something, they're going to be in trouble. Well, that's basically bumping up against the end of time here. That's all the time we have for today, so we'll wrap it up. You have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a brief weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast. Joining me in the studio has been RFERL's news editor, Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week, and now I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.